Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra in association with Get Reading for Friday, the 1st of May 2015. And what is our final podcast extra of the season? My name's Dan Wimbush, editor of thetarlhurstend.com. I'm delighted to be joined, as I have been all season long, by Charles Watson, Get Reading. Charles, hello.
Hello, Dan. How are you?
I'm good. We've made it. We're there. We're finally there.
It's been tough. It's been long. It's been arduous. Let's face it, it's been pretty horrible at times. But yes, we can all look forward to the summer now and a big shake-up. And you know, by the time August comes around, we're all going to be gagging for it to start all over again.
Absolutely. 90 minutes away in that game at Derby on Saturday. We'll come on to that a little bit later. But unfortunately, we have to start where we seem to start every podcast this week, and every week, it seems. Two defeats for Reading, starting with a 2-0 home defeat to Brentford and then going up to Rotherham, who are battling for survival, and they got a 2-1 victory. The best thing I can say, Charles, is we scored a goal this week.
I know, but that goal did rob me of getting the prediction right.
It did.
I completely blame you for
putting
a tweet out about 2 minutes before it went in.
Sorry.
But yes, at least we did have a goal to celebrate. It was a good goal as well by Ollie Norwood, to be fair. Very nice strike. He almost got one about 10 minutes earlier, but with an equally as good a strike from distance, but the keeper made a good save. But it's just, what more can you say about them? It's just same old story, isn't it? The last couple of games, it's like we're saying the same things week in, week out. It's just weren't to be. Brentford, I didn't think they were particularly dreadful or anything, Reading, in that one. I thought Brentford just got the goal early on and went on to win it fairly comfortably. Reading didn't do too badly in the first half, maybe, but it's just much of a muchness, isn't it? It's just same old story. Everyone can see what the areas need improving and what's costing them week in, week out, and it happened again. And Rotherham, I was disappointed with. I thought Reading were really poor up there. I thought they went up there, just didn't really try. There was no fight, no passion in it. It was just very much a end of the season performance. And to be honest, I thought Rotherham were going to comfortably get the points in the way out there, on my way out there, just because, you know, Rotherham needed the points desperately. Reading didn't, and the way Reading had been playing, I couldn't see any way that it wasn't going to be a home win, and that's how it proved.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the most depressing thing for me is my dad was one of those hearty 200 or so Reading fans that went up. I'd like to say trekked all the way from Berkshire, but he was in Leeds on business. But regardless, he was sat in the away end, and he said the oddest thing for him was that how accepting everybody was of it. That we'd gone away to a team fourth from bottom and been comfortably beaten, and nobody was really that angry about it because everyone expected it. How far have our expectations fallen in the space of even 12 months?
Yeah, I'm not sure it's even expectation. I think we've all just been beaten down by what we've seen this season. I think it's just a case of you just can't get... I mean, I was driving up there and I was just saying to Eddie off top, it's just like, oh, it's just the motivation-wise, it's just been... You've just been beaten. It's been slowly beaten out of you as the season's gone on. And poor performance following poor performance following poor performance, seeing no goals, nothing to get you off your feet. And I think it's just like you said, it's just an acceptance now that this season's just done and dusted. It's just petering out. We all want it to end, and that's it. And I think the players are in the same boat as the fans now. Everyone's just desperate to get Saturday out the way and start again. And with fingers crossed, hopefully Steve Clarke can do what he needs to do to ensure a season like this doesn't happen again.
Yeah, the post-mortems are already well underway, and I'm sure we'll chat again over the summer and after the season ends and look back on the season as a whole. But just quickly for you, it's not a question you can answer quickly, but where would you put most of the blame for especially this run in the past few weeks? Is it the manager? Is it the senior players? Is it the younger players not delivering on potential? Is it just running into good teams? I mean, where do you think the blame lies?
It's really hard to say where the blame lies. I think so many people need to share responsibility for what's gone wrong this season. I thought, obviously last summer was dreadful. Everything that went on last summer and behind the scenes, and it put the club back so far. You know, it got a little bit of business done right at the very end. Nigel Atkins managed to get a few players in right at the end when the ties arrived. But, you know, it's far too late then to sort of amalgamate everyone into the squad. And so it was just Reading was starting from, unfortunately, to be fair, they did actually get points on the board early doors, because if it wasn't for those, and they'd be really staring down the barrel of League One at the moment. But, you know, that's it. It all just stemmed from that. A bad start, then obviously, you know, it just went from bad to worse under Nigel Atkins, culminating in Birmingham and getting the sack. And to be fair, Steve Clarke hasn't improved the side. In fact, he's results-wise, he's made it worse. And I do think he's obviously got to take some blame for Steve Clarke for not being able to turn the fortunes around. But I think when he took over, this team was in such a state that confidence was in such a state. And normally managers can, when a manager arrives, that you get an upturn in fortunes. And he did sort of get that, but it quickly started to drift back to what it was beforehand. And obviously the FA Cup run, people started focusing on, and did that harm the league? I mean, Steve Clarke and the players will say no, but I think it has to have done. It's just results prove it, and they just haven't scored any goals. I mean, Simon Cox is the top goal scorer with 8 goals, and he scored one in the last 20. I mean, that's just all you need to look at, really. If you don't score goals, you're not going to win any football matches. And since Glenn Murray's gone, the team just hasn't scored.
Absolutely not. Just in your opinion, does Steve Clarke start the season under pressure next
year? Huge pressure. He's under massive pressure. If Reading start badly, he's going to have huge pressure. I mean, you just look at the results under him. They've been awful, dreadful. And he knows that. He's not stupid. And you can just tell by the fans' reactions and the fan numbers at games. You know, they're not enjoying coming to watch the team play. And if it starts in a similar fashion next season, he's going to be under huge amounts of pressure. He's got to start well. He just simply has to. You can't have a run like he's had now and then start badly next season and not expect to be under pressure. He's going to be under massive pressure.
Yeah, for me, he was in a bit of a no-lose situation when he came in, because obviously if the poor form continued, he could blame Nigel Adkins and the situation at the club, but he had a real chance to get some credit in the bank, to get some, you know, get some patience from the fans and then believe in him. But there's just not a lot of belief. A lot of people are leaning on the crutch of, we'll give him the summer. But I think that's about all he's got to stand on now, because, as you said, he's failed to get any sort of real upturn from this group of players. He's got the worst points per game ratio of any Reading manager in the Championship. And that's going back to the 94 promotion. He's worse than Terry Bullivant. He's got a worse record than Jim and Mick, worse than even Brendan Rodgers. And we all know how those managers ended up in the end. So he really has to improve. But like I said, we talked about it on the main show this week. You have to give a manager the summer, see what he can do. And he's at least he's not hidden behind anything. He's not, you know, said, I'm not to blame. He's not offered any excuses. He just said, we've not been good enough. And the very fact he's using words like a squad in decay, I think, shows the real strength of his feeling.
Yeah, I mean, he desperately wants the summer to put his own stamp on it. I spoke to him yesterday and I said, you know, are you excited by the summer? And he was adamant, just straight away, yes. So you could tell he's just desperate for this season to finish and start putting his stamp on the squad. And he's going to do that. I mean, and he certainly put a lot of pressure on the owners in the last couple of weeks, I think, with Sim's comments. You know, he says that he's got 100% confidence that they're going to back him and let him do what he needs to do this summer. So he's putting it out there that that he wants them to support him and to put their money where their mouth is and help him turn this club around. And I think that's the big thing, that the money has to be spent now this summer. Is if this summer doesn't go well, that, you know, Reading are going to go down next season. They're on.
Yeah, agreed.
It's a spiral decline. You look at it the last three seasons. I think Andre Villas-Boas famously used the words of I think it was spiraling negativity. He described Arsenal at that point after they'd beaten them, and then Arsenal went on and finished well above Spurs in the league. I'll just put that one out. But he used that phrase, spiraling negativity, and that's what Reading are on. They 3 years ago relegated from the Premier League. Last season, 7th in the Championship. This year, 19th, 20th in the Championship. They can't fall any further without it ending up in League One now. So this is such a huge summer, and they have to get it right. Steve Clarke has to get it right, because if they don't, then we're looking at the third tier of English football. And for Reading as a club, for the owners, for everything, it would be an absolute disaster.
Absolutely.
So they have to get it right this summer. It's no two ways around about it. The manager has to be able to do what he thinks he needs to do. He has to put his stamp on the squad, and the owners, who have obviously come in to try and they want to get the club in the Premier League. That's where the money is, so they want to do that. And if they want to do that, realistically, they're going to have to give him what he wants this summer and let him try and move and get this club going again. Because let's face it, at the moment, there's only one way Reading's going, and it's down. It's certainly not up.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, speaking of rebuilding, the first matter on the agenda is those players out of contract. There was finally some movement, or at least some news of movement on this issue, Charles. Steve Clarke talking about players that he had offered new deals to. So who's in line, at least, for negotiations?
Yeah, well, the three big ones are all going to be offered contracts of Feds, Jem and Pearcey. Jem sort of said as much before Steve Clarke revealed it yesterday. Jem spoke, speaking after the game on Tuesday night, said that something was now on the table for him. It certainly didn't look like it was going to be sort of accepted anytime soon. So I think that tells you all you need to know about exactly what the offer may well be like. And that's the thing with this. I mean, obviously, offers have been made, but what these players were on and what these new offers would mean they're going to be on in the future, I imagine it's a whole new level of money in terms of going down. You know, it's going to be a serious pay cut if they want to stay. So, you know, in Reading's terms, it's the case of the offers on the table. Now it's up to the players if they want to accept it or not. And I think that's the thing now. It's not going to be, it's not as simple as the fact is, oh, the contract's been offered, the player's going to take it, they're going to stay. The player's going to have a big decision to make. Do they want to take a massive reduction in wages, or do they want to look elsewhere and see if they can get similar ones to they're getting now? So,
yeah.
It's not all clear, crystal clear, that they're going to stay just because these offers have been made.
Absolutely not. Well, at least from a Reading point of view, I think that their bargaining position has only been strengthened by the poor form in recent weeks. I mean, let's be fair to Adam Federici. Any chance he really had of a big club, I think, have been quite severely dented by that howler against Arsenal. I think it will just bring back the memories in scouts of those errors in the Premier League, and that's not going to hurt him. I think he's had a fantastic season, but you know, few scouts can remember those great early season games. What's the memory they're going to have? That game at Arsenal. Same with Jem. You know, Jem 2 years ago, fantastic player that could have walked into any Championship side and probably a lot of Premier League teams. But let's be bluntly honest, he's not really shown the Jem of old since he's come back from injury. And Alex Pearce has been on a gradual decline ever since he won Player of the Season. So Reading's bargaining position is a lot stronger than it possibly would have been if we were sitting here talking this time last year.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that wherever they go next, Reading, and those players go next, if they do go somewhere, they're not going to be able to get as good a contract as what they've been on at Reading. Obviously, they sign those contracts in the Premier League times, they're on very decent money, and I don't think wherever they go, they're going to get that sort of money elsewhere. It's just a case of if... I mean, you look at Feds, I think Feds could easily get a move to a lot of clubs. I think you kind of look at even sort of Bournemouth, who have just gone up, you know, their goalkeeping situation isn't crystal clear. I mean, could he go there? The thing with Fez, I think for me, he's got to be really careful with what decision he makes next, because yes, he can leave Reading. Maybe he certainly feels like he's got something to prove in the Premier League, but is he going to go anywhere and walk in and be a first choice goalkeeper in the Premier League? And at his age, does he really want to go and sit on the bench? Well, in fact, I know the answer to that is no. And so he's got to be really careful. He's just got to have a look at Alex McCarthy, really, in terms of how his career has gone since he's left Reading. Obviously, Alex is at a far younger scale, so maybe he's got time to sit on the bench. But Feds hasn't. He's at the prime of his career at the moment. He doesn't want to go and sit as a number two somewhere. So he's got to be really careful with his decision and where he goes. And with Jem, I think Jem's been all right since he's come back from injury. I've actually been quite impressed with what I've seen from him. Obviously, he's still way off where he was, and will he ever get back to that? We don't know. But I think he's done all right, and I think Jem's got a lot to offer Reading, and I really hope he does sign a deal. And whether it's on, you know, reduced terms or not, I think he would be good to stay. Pearcey, I don't think it'd be a disaster if Reading if he left at all. You know, he's been a great servant for the club. He's been here an awful long time, and I think he's a decent Championship defender. But you know, if he's holding out for very high wages, then I don't think it'd be a disaster at all if Reading looked elsewhere for a partner for Michael Hector.
Yeah, I think I'm not against re-signing all three. I just think that Reading are in a better position to negotiate with them because of their recent struggles. And Jem is the one I would most like to hang on to, because if he can get back to that form we were seeing at the very start of last season under Nigel Adkins, and at the end of the Premier League season as well, it'll be such a fantastic asset and a dynamo that we need in the midfield to drive us forward. And he is a leader. He is someone that can G up the players and the fans as well. So I'll be desperate to hold on to him. Feds, Reading have always seemed to be able to get a good goalkeeper in. I think going back, you know, 15, 20 years now, we've had a constant stream of good goalkeepers, and by the sounds of it, there's some more great ones coming through the academy as well. John Henley's playing for Scotland under 21s. You've got Stuart Moore, who's just won a Player of the Season award at a successful Basingstoke side. So again, it looks like the conveyor belt is rolling on. And again, like you said with Pearcey, I mean, we've seen what Jake Cooper's been able to do this season alongside Michael Hector, and you know, this is Cooper's first real season. He's only going to get stronger as well. And of course, we can't forget Anton Ferdinand as well.
You know, he could forget.
He's got another year.
He's got another year. I know, he's done well, hasn't he? Some of these Reading sort of born and bred heroes are fighting around for contracts, and Anton Ferdinand sitting around with
absolutely.
Year,
I'm just shocked he didn't get in the top three for Player of the Season. But yeah, we'll see how that pans out with all three. Just very quickly on Player of the Season, we talked about this last week, but any complaints with Feds winning?
No, not at all.
No. No, agreed. Very deserving, and he saw he won the Players Player Award as well.
Yes, yeah, he got that yesterday. That was nice. Again, I'm not at all surprised. I think, given how close Reading are going to actually finish to relegation zone, I think you got to look at a lot of what Fed did in some of those games this season and think if it weren't for him, then Reading would be heading to League One.
Absolutely, and hopefully he can complete a hat trick when we open our Tarleton Player of the Season Award voting after the end of the Derby game. So stay tuned to the website for that one. Moving on then. Final game of the season is Derby on Saturday. Reading have the chance to spark another party for an opposition team. We've seen plenty of celebrations from opposition fans in recent weeks. And now it's Derby's turn. If they beat Reading, they will be guaranteed a playoff place. And Charles, I don't think Reading are going to dampen that party in any way.
Well, there's nothing to suggest they will, no. It is on TV, though. And to be fair, Reading have done all right on TV.
Yeah, very fair. We've only lost at Wembley, haven't we?
And you're pretty much almost guaranteed a Gareth McCleary goal because it's on TV. So you never know. They might go there and spoil the party. I mean, they've got good memories of the iPro just a couple of months ago, haven't they? So who knows? I mean, Reading might go there and surprise us all. I mean, Derby are going to have to sort of go for it, you'd think, and that might play into Reading's hand. They might have a little bit more space and be able to play like they did in that FA Cup game when they were very good in the FA Cup game, admittedly against 10 men for an awful lot of that match. But so they might, you never know, they might go and surprise us. But yeah, I mean, all signs pointing to a home win.
Yeah, and a few injury doubts as well going into that game.
Yeah, it looks like it. There's a few doubts that Steve Clark pointed out yesterday. But, you know, at the moment, you never know what side he's going to play anyway. So even if those players were fit, would he have played him? He seems to be chopping and changing, giving everyone a chance at the moment. So it's tough to even think about what starting 11 you end up going for.
Yeah, well, let's give our final predictions of the season then. As you mentioned, unfortunately, I jinxed you at Rotherham. You did get a point out of it, though, to take you safely above Westy. You're on 19, a point above Westy.
Oh,
and Johnny's on 24, and I've won the league with 29 points. That late Oliver Norwood goal has won me the league.
Fix, it's got to be a fix. Oh, did you benefit from that?
I did, yeah. Yeah, I won the league. That Oliver Norwood won me the league.
You totally jinxed it. I don't believe it.
I'm sorry. Well, there's still all you need to do is bet a Westies result to guarantee third place, Champions League place.
My predictions league is going to kind of follow the suit of my fantasy football team this season and just be very much just hovering above the relegation zone.
Well, you've had a very strong finish. You've got four of the last five results right.
All right.
So there you go. But anyway, I've gone for a 2-0 win to Derby. Johnny went 3-1 Derby. Westy went for, in a desperate late bid to overhaul you, went for a 4-0 Reading win.
Okay.
And
I'm going to go for a 3-1 Derby win. Has anyone said that?
Johnny has said that, yeah. You can't catch Johnny, though, so...
Okay, I'll stick with 3-1. Reading will give the fans one last goal to cheer.
Excellent.
Take it up to 46 for the season.
Well, we will look forward to that one. Just before we let you go, then, just going quickly back to the contracts. No contract offer for Ryan Edwards. No. Any surprise to you?
No, I don't think so. You know, I really enjoyed watching him in pre-season last season. I thought he was a real sort of star of those few games. Looked a decent player, really good vision. The sort of player that Reading lack, actually, really lack that link player, because as much as the strikers get a lot of grief, they're not exactly getting chances put on a plate for them week in, week out. They're certainly not centrally anyway. They're getting some crosses in that some people should probably be getting on the end of. But they really lack, I've been banging on about phrases, that sort of X factor link between midfield and attack. And Ryan Edwards is that sort of player, but he looked really good in pre-season against obviously lower division sides, in sides where he was getting a lot of space and not. It wasn't that physical, but once the Championship started, he did look a little bit sort of lightweight and perhaps a touch out of his depth in that league. So, and obviously he didn't get looking after the Brentford game in October, I think it was. And so, yeah, I mean, he certainly didn't figure in Steve Clark's plans. And so what was the point in giving him another deal? As Steve Clark said to me yesterday, you know, for Ryan's career, it's best now that he moves on and tries to get first team football. And I don't think Ryan feels any resentment, you know, about that. I think he understands the decision and he's looking forward to moving on.
No, and the way it was looking last season, he went on loan to the A-League and there were some problems with his dad getting sacked while he was out on loan, and barely played, and to come in and even make any championship appearances, I think is credit to him and the way he's worked. He's a really nice bloke and wish him very well in the future. So there been any talk about some of the others out of contract? Obviously, Mikel Anderson, Stephen Kelly, just a couple of the names mentioned. Did Steve touch on any of those names yesterday?
No, not really. I mean, I think most of them are going to go. I'd be very surprised if I mean, Mikel Anderson's a strange one, isn't it? Because you just don't know what's happening with Feds, and we'll have to wait and see on that one. I mean, didn't exactly cover himself in glory, yeah. I think, on Tuesday night, if that was the
one of those goals was very weak.
I think both of them were pretty weak. I'm not quite sure how the first one went in, and I thought the second one even, it was a bit strange. So, you know, he had a chance to impress, they didn't really take it, and would he get a new deal? I mean, it's number two goalkeeper, isn't it? It's a tough position to call, but I think, yeah, you'd have to say he probably will move on. I'm convinced Stephen Kelly will certainly move on. You know, obviously Danny Guthrie's gone, and I would say those three are going to possibly be the only three, if they were going to stay and they do sign whatever deals have been offered. I think they could be the only ones that we see.
You mean there's not been new contracts offered to Yakubu and Zach Knight and Euro Travner?
I don't get that impression, no, and I'd be very, very much surprised.
And this is scandalous. We should have started the show with such dramatic news.
I know, dreadful signs. Steve Clark again, you know, he's put pressure on himself. Obviously, he didn't have any money to play with, so he's had to do short-term deals. But my word, the signings he's brought in have been poor. Apart from the loan signings, obviously, Aki and Schalaber have been good. But that night, Yakubu, I mean, he got his goal against Derby, and that's worth
that's paid it. For his. That's paid for him.
It has paid for it completely. But Kwesi Apai again, it's just a strange, strange signing. And obviously, Anton Ferdinand has nothing to do with Steve Clark, but it's he hasn't incurred himself in glory in those short-term deals.
And yeah, I can't imagine we'll see any
of them. Yes, we won't. I can't imagine we'll see any of them next season. He did hint that Dominic Samuel was going to get a real chance to impress in pre-season, though, which is a good thing. I think he's warranted that with his little spell in commentary. He deserves a chance to impress, and as long as he's fully fit by the time pre-season starts, he certainly seems to be going to be heavily involved in that, and will be going away on the tour once it's announced.
Yeah, one player who says he's got no intention of leaving is Michael Hector, which was good to read as well.
Yeah, he's been the shining light, I think, certainly the second half of the season, and certainly under Steve Clark, he's come on leaps and bounds and just looks a very impressive young defender, and he seems to have his head screwed on and sort of said he's very happy and focused already. I mean, whether that stays true if someone does start showing serious interest in him in the summer, and if some serious money gets put on the table, then you know how football works. Whatever he says, he could end up moving on, but he certainly doesn't seem to have any immediate plans to move on, and that would be great, because you know, I think we could all see in the second half season just how good a defender he can be if he continues to improve at this level.
Absolutely. Right, well, I said that just about wraps it up. We're 90 minutes away from the end of the season. I'm sure we'll chat again between now and the start of August and have a proper look back on the season that's just gone. We will be recording the final main edition of the show, our season wrap-up. We're just toying with whether it's going to be next Friday or next Sunday. We'll hopefully decide that in the next day or so and get that out on the Twitter. And it'll be down a local drinking establishment. So listeners are more than welcome to come down to that. So stay tuned for news on that. But Charles, thanks very much for joining me throughout the season. It's just a shame we haven't had more wins to talk about.
No. But as we all know, football can change and very quickly. So I think we'll all be looking forward to it all starting again in a couple of months' time.
Yeah, couldn't let you go without one final prediction as well, though. FA Cup final, you going to do it?
Don't ask me to predict Arsenal. I will curse us every single time. I hope we're going to do it, obviously, but I've seen us struggle against Aston Villa many a times in the last few seasons. Although we haven't this season, we're 8-0 up on aggregate over the two games against them this season. But obviously, it's very different Aston Villa now with a new manager in charge. So we'll see. But hopefully, touch wood, I'll be there and I'll be celebrating again as I was last season against Hull.
Yeah, you haven't got an invitation to the Federici wedding.
No, I haven't got an invitation to the Federico.
Must have been lost in the post.
I know, like a lot of things from Reading this season.
Well, Charles, I said thank you very, very much for joining us. We'll get together over the summer and record some more. But until then, have a great summer and take care.
You too, Dan. Take it easy, mate.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter.
@ The Tarlhurst End.
And facebook.com/ The Tarlhurst End.